Succession number 27192, Reel 3.
Major Hingston, Reel 3.
You were telling me about the honey tank that came up.
Honey tank, yes, they gun things up pretty effectively, but I think, yes it was that particular day that I think the squadron lost every one of its tanks, one way or another. They must have had, I suppose, some anti-tank guns, I don't know, but I do seem to remember Don Fry coming up and saying they'd lost every one of their tanks. But eventually the enemy was pushed out of their main position. I think they were thinking of pulling back. The Worcesters came in and attacked in great force and shoved them out of it.
Did you go into Onet itself, into the town?
Hmm?
Did you go into Onet itself?
Onet we left on the right.
Yes.
We came round on the left and some other unit, I don't know who, came round on the other side and they fell back. It was a heavily defended position which they intended to hold and we outflanked them on both sides. Now, which was our next one? Kirinapatra, Odor. There's one I know I've forgotten, but after that we came to the Seine crossing. This has been written up very effectively by quite a number of different people. Which, in my case, again, we crossed on a broken bridge and a girder, and I was thrust out towards the left flank. Towards a village called Pressagny-Orgueilleux. Now, don't ask me to spell it, because I couldn't. Pressagny-Orgueilleux.
I can't
even pronounce it.
Yes.
Now, we moved down into the village, name's forgotten me, it'll come back. Vernon.
Yes.
And we sheltered under some peculiar looking trees by the side of the road, which we tucked ourselves in under. And I went back there. 40 years later, they're still there, looking exactly the same. The leading brigade borrowed one of our companies and attacked four companies up and pushed the enemy back quite a distance. And then the remaining two battalions were pushed one left, one right to broaden the bridgehead. We went to this peculiar village of Pressagny-Orgueilleux. On the way there, there was no opposition. We picked up a few stragglers and we got into the village towards the end of the day. And on the way, halt, we called a halt for no apparent reason. They said, right, you can go on again. We went on 500 yards, halt. Don't really think why. Why that happened to this day, I don't know. Eventually, we got into the village, and there occurred one of the little things which was stuck in my memory. You'll appreciate we were pretty tired by now. We'd been, I've forgotten, I'm sure there were about a couple of other battles which I've forgotten, but we were pretty tired and pretty disillusioned. And dirty, and I went. I eventually went into the village in the afternoon, and I went in on one of the carriers. Now the carrier had certain place for its crew, and everything else was filled with baggage and God knows what. So I was unable to take cover in this thing, and I had to sit up with the top half of me anyway fully exposed. I had the company marching either side of the road behind, further back. And we went in, there was that deathless stillness. Not a dog or a cat or a chicken or a bird. It meant one thing, they were waiting for us.
You were walking into an ambush then?
Yes, absolutely waiting for us. And yours truly, sitting up on top of this carrier, was not feeling a deathless hero, as you can imagine. However, I recall very well, we advanced in the village, we'd gone up a few hundred yards, and the house on the right, an old French woman came to the door and looked out, obviously saying, "What the hell's this bloody row about?" Her whole of her face fell open with surprise. And I heard her call out, "Ollie, Ollie, there's America!"
There's
America.
Maybe.
We put that right fairly soon. And I could hear Henry answer, but I couldn't hear what he said. It was quite obvious. Don't talk. Oui, oui, c'est vrai. And so we continued our cautious advance, a little more optimistic now. And before we'd gone 30 yards, Frenchmen had appeared from everywhere. We were surrounded and brought to a halt. Absolutely brought to a halt. with these delighted Frenchmen at being liberated at last after 4 years. The mayor came out, and as mayor's will, he... French are so good at, he made a perfect little short speech on the spur of the moment, to which I, who hadn't been thinking of speeches or anything like it, was completely caught flat. But the thing I remember is, look at those people's faces. It was, it made it all so worthwhile. Suddenly, all the blood and the fear and the tiredness and the filth. It was all so worthwhile. And anyway.
Had you seen anything of the civilian population mm-hmm. earlier in the campaign?
No, pressure one or two, practically nothing. You see, when there's bullets and shells flying around the civilian population, get the hell out of it fast. You can't blame them. Anyway, there I made rather a bad tactical mistake. The village was, I suppose, a good half mile long down its main street. And I kept one of my, I only had two platoons then, one back at the back end and one forward at the other end, just off the main road. And the word came through that a German cyclist battalion had bicycled down to the part of Calais and were in the next village on beyond. Couldn't see anything of them. That wasn't surprising. So I sent Jack Bishop with the forward platoon. And I said, take a fighting patrol, go out and see what you can do, do some damage if you can, and tell me all about them. Which he duly did. And he told me afterwards that he arrived at the village to find an entire battalion drawn up in the main street where they were being harangued. And he'd rather wisely, having only a platoon, he'd done nothing about it. Got out of it safely. I know your deathless hero would have attacked them and wiped the battalion out, but as I say, we were getting pretty disillusioned by then. Anyway,
what was the strength of his platoon at that stage? What was the strength of his platoon?
Probably not more than 20. Yeah.
So he had 20 men, and the Germans were on parade being lectured, were they?
Being lectured, being harangued. I think he went out after dark, of course. Between the two, there was young Korn, half-grown Korn.
So that would be, what, knee-high, something like that at that time?
Yeah, about knee-high, yes.
Yes.
Anyway, during the night, the Germans sent a patrol down, which we met in the village, we exchanged a few shots, and they got out of it, and we didn't stay too long. and they vanished, and nothing else was seen. Next morning they attacked on our right-hand flank, between ourselves and Harry Parker with A Company, and they put in a very good attack. We were unaware they were coming there. They sprayed the air over our heads with tracer from three machine guns for about a couple of minutes, and then they attacked in force, yelling their heads off. I regret to say that platoon ran, all except for one man who was taken prisoner. And